Hi, this is Patti LuPone.
This is Allison Janney.
This is Matt Ballmer.
This is Donna Murphy.
This is Nia Vardalos.
This is Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
This is Beanie Feldstein.
I'm Octavia Spencer.
This is Ben Platt, and you're listening to Little Known Facts with my favorite person on the planet, Alana Levine.
A-OK.
Welcome to Little Known Facts, a podcast where you will hear unfiltered, raw, honest, and uniquely funny interviews with artists you love as they talk about the art they love to make. I'm your host, Ilana Levine.
Hey, I heard you needed inspiration. Here's Ilana and friends with some revelations. Little known fact of the day. Every little thing's gonna be A-OK.
Hey everyone, new episodes of Little Known Facts drop every Monday and you can find them on your favorite podcast provider. Also, if you go to the website, littleknownfactspodcast.com, you'll find behind the scenes photos, videos, and interviews and lots more on the gallery page. And if you are loving these intimate, candid conversations with all the artists who come on the show, please head over to the contributions page. I depend on these donations to continue to bring you these interviews every week. So if you love the show, please donate. Little known fact about my guest today, she still gets emotional when she recalls how her filmmaker friends fought to have her cast in The Help. Then she went on to win the Oscar. Welcome, Octavia Spencer.
A-OK. A-OK.
Hey everyone, my guest today is the Academy Award-winning actress Octavia Spencer. Along with her Oscar, Golden Globe, BAFTA, and SAG Award, Octavia has been nominated or won every award that can possibly be given to an actress. She has appeared in close to 70 films and just as many TV shows. She was named by Entertainment Weekly one of the 25 funniest actresses in Hollywood. She became a household name for her performance as Minnie Jackson in The Help, and more recently, she has moved audiences with her performances in The Shack, Hidden Figures, and Gifted. She is a producer and activist. She is the author of the young adult series Randy Rhodes, Ninja Detective. She is an exceptional actress and a beautiful human being. Welcome, Octavia Spencer, to the podcast.
Wow, that was pretty fantastic. It sounds good on paper. It sounds really good on paper.
I know. I feel like I really did a good job creating.
That was great. I think you need to do that all the time for me. Like, just go everywhere and read that intro.
Do you know what? If it would mean us actually spending more time together, because it really has been, you know, listeners, I met Octavia, I think it was like around 1998, we did a little short film called Making Sandwiches with Sandy Bullock at the helm. And that was the beginning of your magical existence coming into my life. And that's a long time now.
Yes, it's been a long time. And I, you know what? It's, you always know the special ones because, you know, we stay together no matter what. You know, we're all over the place, but we're always in touch, and that means a lot to me. You know, you were there at the very, very beginning.
I feel responsible. I mean, think about it. Well, before me, there's a young Octavia who grew up in Alabama. And I don't know that people know that much about, you know, you have kind of exploded into our lives in more recent years, but you talk about like slow and steady wins the race. And I feel like those seeds of hard work were planted. I remember you telling me about your family. Are you from Montgomery?
I am from Montgomery. I am. Performing and arts has always been a part of you know, my life. I'm the sixth of seven siblings, and we're from meager, very meager beginnings, but, you know, all have our, you know, staked our claim in some way.
Were you super funny? And do you feel like as the youngest, one of the ways you sort of found your place was, did you entertain everybody, or what were you like?
Well, I'm not the youngest. I'm next to the youngest. But,
oh, I forgot,
you know,
about that one.
Yeah.
Poor the youngest.
I don't know. I mean, we're all pretty pretty funny when we hang out together. We laugh a lot, you know, reminiscing about our childhood. So I don't think that I'm any funnier than any of my other siblings, actually. I mean, you know, sibling dynamic. There's always someone funnier than you and always someone more talented than you. So I never saw myself as the funniest or the most talented. I was just happy to be a part of the mix.
So when did you start performing?
You know, I took piano lessons. I mean, we were poor, but my mom bought a piano and I took piano lessons. And then I realized, you know, I really don't like piano. And I hate myself for doing that. So I started, you know, it was very early on in my life. You know, we at our church, we did all of the recital things every Sunday, you know, that type. I mean, so performing was just, it was just really a part of the fabric of my life. And then I, you know, in high school, we did plays, and college, you know, I decided not to major in theater. My mom died when I was 18, right before my college entry. She always encouraged us, you know, to be the best and dream the biggest dreams for ourselves. But when I told her I wanted to be an actress, it was like, oh, you know, she kind of didn't.
Was that the sound
down,
effect?
But she didn't rain, right? She didn't rain on my parade. I was like, you know, but she didn't rain on my parade, but she definitely, you know, was a very practical woman. And because of that, I am extremely practical. And I decided writing would probably take me a lot farther than acting, but I wanted to, you know, keep that in my pocket. But, you know, in those years, those formative years as an actor, when you have a lot of downtime, there's a lot of time for self-doubt.
So how did you get to L.A.?
Oddly enough, I worked with a casting director who lived in Alabama, but she did a lot of location casting. So my last semester at Auburn, I actually was not there. I don't know how I did it, but I talked my professors in the school into letting me do a work study. And I worked on Richie Rich and another movie, Tom and Huck.
Two classics.
Yeah. And then there was like, I just did all of these things. And then I almost didn't go to my graduation. And I thought, you know what? I'm probably going to regret it if I don't go to my graduation.
You mean literally show up at the ceremony
and get my diploma? I'm like, I probably need to do that. And so at the last minute, and my family didn't come because I told them that I wasn't going. And at the last minute, I changed my mind.
Wait, so when they called your name, was there no one of your huge family? Was there nobody there?
No, I literally, but you know, I had friends, and so it was fine. I mean, I literally, it was a technicality for
okay.
me. I'm like, I need to do this.
You need this piece of paper for you.
Exactly.
But how lucky. I think so much about how there's talent, right? And then you need something lucky in your life. So the idea mm-hmm. that you were in Alabama and met the one person mm-hmm. who, you know, kind of had a foot in both worlds, and that you found that person.
Well, it was due diligence, though. Let me tell you, there was a movie that came to Montgomery, and I didn't know that movies filmed on location. Like, they filmed in different places mm-hmm. other than Los Angeles and New York. No idea. And there was a movie coming to Montgomery starring Whoopi Goldberg and Sissy Spacek called The Long Walk Home. And I called those people every day. My detective snooping, everything. I figured out where their offices were. And I went down there, and they realized they weren't going to get rid of me. So they hired me as an intern, and they paid me $100 a week. And I worked in the extras casting department with the location casting director who did extras casting and location casting. And that's how and then I found out she was from Birmingham, and we became friends. So whenever she would go on to do stuff and I was out of school, I would go help her. But yeah, that's what I did. It was just, it took a lot of, I look back now, it's like, oh, wow. I just kept going until because all they could do was say no. And they said no a lot. But, you know, I just kept on them until they said, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you lived in New York, you would call that chutzpah. And living in Alabama, I'm sure it's like gumption or some kind of, you know, you had a vision. You're a very powerful person. So when I met you, you were already in L.A. Tate Taylor and Octavia came as a package. I met this hilarious dynamic duo. So Tate Taylor ended up getting the rights to the book called The Help, adapting it into a screenplay, And that obviously a little bit, the rest is history.
We met on A Time to Kill because we were the same casting director that I worked with in Alabama. She was the location casting and extras casting for A Time to Kill. So I went to Mississippi and it was so weird being an extras casting because we were so far away from everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of thought, I don't think I want to do this anymore. And as I was preparing to quit, in walks Tate Taylor to deliver our call sheets because it was almost the first day of shooting. And he brings the call sheets and I'm like, who is this? And we hit it off and I stayed and we became the best of friends. And when I found out that he was moving to LA, he had a house sitting gig. So he was going to be staying out here for free for his first 3 or 4 months. And I thought, well, if he got a house sitting gig, then I can get a house sitting gig. He can't move to LA and me not move to LA.
Exactly.
And so I found a house sitting gig. And we raced each other. I raced him. He didn't realize we were in this competition. Only I knew that. I beat him to LA. He took the more leisurely route. He went skiing and all that. And I just drove straight through.
Because if you look at your resume, you kind of started bit by bit getting parts on TV shows. I think you've said it before, and I can't remember the number, but you've played a nurse 20 times, something like that.
A lot.
By the way, not for nothing, that was kind of a part of your SNL opening monologue. Which was like cooler, hosting SNL or winning an Oscar, if you had to choose?
Listen, SNL is iconic.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that you just, I mean, there's nothing. Yeah, but Oscar changed my career,
right?
So that I could be a part of SNL. So I think Oscar, I would have to go with Oscar, but I'm thrilled that I got a chance to do a dream thing.
So how did it start? How did you get an agent?
Well, through the Sandy short. It's so funny. I had no idea about anything. And Sandra was so sweet that they made a little tape for me. And it was a clip of the scene that I was in with Sandy and Matthew. And the DP on that short was going on to do a Disney movie. And he said, there's a part in there that you should read for. I'll get you an audition. And I'm like, okay. They got me an audition, and then months went by, and I said, well, I guess I didn't get that. And then they called to make a deal, and the casting director had an agent in mind, Michael Green, and I went over to meet Michael Green, and Sandy said, you're going to need this tape. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what this tape is. And I gave them the tape. They're like, you have tape of Sandra Bullock and Matthew McConaughey. This is amazing. And I thought, oh, wow. Okay. I guess this is good. This is something that I need.
Yes.
And so that's how I got my agent. Like every little thing.
I don't know if you remember this. So I was cast in that movie. And Sandy and Matthew McConaughey had just done A Time to Kill. Sandy wrote this little short, this adorable romantic short film for them to be in together and for her to direct. And it was being shot in Ventura, California, which was like a few hours away. And she had all of her friends, including you and Tate and people that I hadn't met yet until I showed up on set, involved in the production. It was very like, I've got a bar and let's put on a show. So Sandy, when we had a first meeting, it was me and Matthew and Sandy and Beth Grant and a couple of people still in LA. And she was like, the way it's going to work is it's kind of scrappy. And, you know, I may call you on a Tuesday and say, I need you Tuesday night to shoot a scene. Like, we're not as boarded and clear as other movies are going to be. Are you game? And I'm like, are you kidding? Am I game to be in this little movie with Sandra Bullock and Matthew McConaughey? Yeah. Yeah, I am. Mm-hmm. So I get a call on a Tuesday that they need me there that night. And I am having the hugest fight with my boyfriend. And I'm like, Sandy, I'm so sorry. I can be there tomorrow. I can't be there tonight. And she's like, okay, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. And I call her back a couple of hours later. And I'm like, I'll break up with him if you need me to, if you really. And she's like, don't worry. Octavia can do it. Because it was very loose. Like, it was a very loose thing. And so I got there the next day. And I felt so awful that I had let her down. And then I get there the next day and they're literally like, oh my God, it's so great you weren't here last night because Octavia ended up, she was so hilarious. I was like, okay, I get it.
Oh my God.
Thank goodness you were there. Thank goodness I had that fight. thank goodness they had that scene that became the reel.
So you are responsible for my career.
Exactly. And if I hadn't dated that guy, you would have a podcast and I would have an Oscar.
I love that guy right now.
See?
Wow, that is crazy. I never knew that.
Because I felt so guilty. And it was true. She was like, don't worry, we will figure it out. And there you were. And you know what? She figured it out and you were amazing. We have just, making sandwiches is suddenly going to like fly off the shelves, that short film that no one even knows about because of this conversation. So you have Michael Green.
Michael Green is still a wonderful agent in LA. And he literally groomed me and taught me everything I needed to know. Like, I had to get into an acting class, and I learned basically how to get one-liners and under fives and television shows. And then he's like, well, we're done with those. Now you're going to do and it's funny because people who don't know the business don't realize that if you have one line, you're still a principal actor. You're not an extra. So they're like, oh, you started out as an extra. I was never an extra.
You're like, honey, I cast extras. Let me tell you something.
Exactly. But you know what we go through just to get one line.
Yeah.
And
to get a honey wagon out of holding. I mean, all of those things.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And it was so we graduated from one lines and under fives. And then Michael said, you know, and it's funny because a lot of people that I started out with didn't get that type of guidance in their career. But Michael, I remember saying to me, we can't do any more under fives. If they are going to hire you, they're going to hire you as a guest star. And that's what your credit is going to be. Because if you don't see yourself as a guest star and series regular, then no one else will. Mm. So we're going to say no. And so do you have the means to be able to say no? And I said, well, I always have a day job. My mom always taught me to work. Listen, if it all ended today, I'll be happy to go get a job, you know, working at McDonald's or something, because I'm not too proud to provide for myself, which is why I also live very practically. And I really appreciated that. And we came to, a parting of the ways. And I went to an agency that was a little bit bigger. And then, so it just graduated, you know, to the next level, because there are things that I want to do. I wanted to produce, and we didn't have the means to do that.
But he's such a part of your story. When you tell the story, he's part of the fabric of the beginning. It's beautiful.
I believe in us, and you have to. I've always said that I'm very grateful to Michael Green, because he saw something in me. And he promoted the hell out of it. And I remember, you know, my first dream job was being in Spider-Man, because I grew up watching it and then started watching it with my young nephews. So to be a part of the first Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, and it was just like, oh my God, this is happening.
Was that the first time you felt like, okay, like this is, I'm doing this. This is real.
Yes. It's funny because I consider myself successful then. That I was able to make some money doing what I loved doing, even though I still had a day job. I loved that I was an actor, and I was, you know, from Montgomery, Alabama. I signed all of my high school yearbooks. You know, when you sign the yearbooks at the end of the year, I wrote in all of my friends' books. I drew the Hollywood Hill and wrote Hollywood Bound.
Oh, I
didn't
know
how I was going to get here, but I knew that I was coming, and there was nothing that was going to stop me from coming. But I appreciate Whoopi Goldberg to this day, because I was ready to up and leave, you know, right after A Time to Kill. And she took me under her wing, you know, because she knew that I had just lost my mom that December, right before we started in the spring on that movie. And she took me under her wing, and she said, you know, you promised your mom that you would go to college. Hollywood will be there. It is not going anywhere. You need
wow.
to go to college.
Yeah.
And to have that, you know, type of instruction from someone who was already successful, I'm glad I listened to her. And she was right. Hollywood was here, and it's still going to be here. So just to have that, because there's something about college, if you get the opportunity to go, it teaches you how to meet deadlines.
Mm.
And if you aren't a person who is a self-starter. I'm a self-starter, but sometimes I don't finish things. You know, I can be known to do that.
Yeah.
You know, college teaches you how you have to show up. You have to be on time. You know, it just makes you a more structured person, a more well-rounded person for the job force or the workforce. And so I was glad that I did that. And, you know, you have to have a beginning, middle, and end to every story. And, it was just teaching me how to fill in all those blanks. So I'm grateful. And I credit Miss Whoopi for, knocking me back on in line. But yeah, you get those little pearls of wisdom on your journey, you know?
And so when the help, you know, when we fast forward a little bit to your working through kind of going up the ladder,
mm-hmm.
was that a part that you had to fight tooth and nail for? Were there other people in the running and he just was like, you know what, I need it to be Octavia? How did that finally happen? Because that was a pretty, you know, that film had a lot of established people in it already.
Yes, it did.
So how did you get in there?
Well, that's a juicy little story. Tate and I were roommates, and Brunson Green, one of the producers, Brunson actually put up the money for them to get the rights, lived next door. Tate owned a duplex and we were all basically roommates. And I tear up a little because I know what it meant for both of them to get this big shot, to be doing this movie for DreamWorks to sign on. And, you know, right before, at that time, you know, Jennifer Hudson had just won an Oscar. Monique had just won an Oscar. Queen Latifah had just been nominated for an Oscar. They had all these people, Taraji Henson, they had all of these people that they could have easily have cast in the role of Minnie. And I had met Catherine when she was writing the book and didn't know that she loosely based Minnie's physicality and her, her very, I don't know, because I hate the word sassy to describe grown women. But, you know, she spoke her mind. And
That's right.
And people who know me know that I will speak my mind
if
I have to. Because, you know, when you lose your mom at 18, there's no other advocate for you, you know, but yourself.
Right. You're your own mother and father at that point.
Exactly. So that's who I am. And so the studio had so many people that they could choose from and that they probably really wanted that would have helped that roster. And Tate and Brunson, Tate kept saying no. I know that they probably read a couple of people, but who they read, I don't know. But he said, that's Octavia's role. That's Octavia's role. That's Octavia's role.
Wow.
And I did have to audition. And I also thank God to this day that I did the book on tape. For the help, because Catherine Stockett, you know, requested that I do it.
Did you do that before the movie was being
cast? Mm-hmm.
Right. So you had this woman inside you.
Yes. And I went on when Catherine was doing her book signings. She said, you know, will you go on, go with me to do the readings and you read all the maid parts and I'll read all the Skeeter parts. And I said, sure. And then she said, you need to do the book on tape. And you know, nobody wanted me, nobody wanted me to be doing anything with this book or this film, except for my friends, Catherine, Kate, and Brunson. And I'm so grateful because of those relationships. They knew what I was capable of. And I knew that I was capable
of it. Did you? That's what I wanted to ask you. Were you scared? Like, here are all these people. Here's this project. Here are all these people saying, we want Octavia, to the gods in
mm-hmm.
the business.
Mm-hmm.
And was there any part of you going, you know what, you guys, actually, great. Listen, I just remembered I left my oven on. And I just need to. Did you know you could do it?
I was terrified. The audition, I love Cary Barden to this day. He and I are the only ones, and his associate at the time, Rich, are the only ones who knew that. I've never been in an audition where I was so terrified and I couldn't get the words out. He and I have been friends for years, and he'd always try to, he'd cast me in another project that he'd done. And so, you know, he would read me for everything. And I was so terrified because I knew what was on the line. My friends were fighting for me, so I couldn't screw up my audition.
Was it on tape?
It was on tape.
Right. So you could do it as many times as you needed to get it
right.
We
did. We did it about 15 times. Because
there's
I was
a
so
tape
nervous.
Somewhere.
And on the 15th, yes, on the 15th time, he was like, he was like, just listen, this is not an audition. You are Minnie. You did the book on tape. And when he said, you've already done this part, you've done it a million times. I went to London and did the radio play for The Help before the movie was even done. I mean, I'd done Minnie so many times that I was not going to let anybody touch that role. You know, when they said, hey, they're going to do a radio play and they want you to do Minnie, Catherine Stockett. I said, sure, I'll go to London.
Sure.
So, you know, I paid my way to go over there and do the radio play. So when he told me all of that and reminded me that I'd already done it a million times, it took the weight off and I just relaxed and we did it. But I, you know, to this day, Carrie Barden can call me and ask me to come and read a phone book for him. And I would do it because it was the grace of God and so many people rooting me on. But Tate and Catherine and Brunson and Carrie are the reason that people know my name today.
Right. And it has kept going. So do you remember, I know you'll never forget the night you won an Oscar, although I'm sure you blacked out and then came to and blacked out and came to. Do you remember the first time Tate called action for The Help?
Well, yes, I do. We had a big fight.
Wow. Little known fact. Okay. Why?
Yes.
What
well,
happened?
He's like my brother.
Yes.
He's like my brother. And, you know, we were smart enough to know that we could not be roommates while we were working together.
Right.
Because, you know, it's like being a married couple. You're arguing about things like, did you take out the trash? And when you're really, you know, trying to focus on things. So I can't even remember what our fight was about, but we had a big fight. And it's funny now, but I also remember, you know, how Skeeter had everybody sign the book for Abilene.
Sure.
I knew that I wanted to do something special for all of us. So I wasn't even working the first week or so. We had a couple of weeks of rehearsal and blocking and all of that stuff. But I would go to the set at lunchtime and we had the best caterer. So everybody would show up for lunch.
Nice.
I had books that all of the cast and all of the department heads, my job was to get everybody who was a department head and everybody in the cast to sign a book, to sign actually it was 50. There are only 50 books like this in the world.
Like when you say book,
it's The Help. It's,
oh, a
I
copy
had everybody
of the book.
Sign,
okay.
Everybody. And I think they're all first editions of The Help. Catherine had given us 50 copies and the entire cast. And now look at it. Now let's fast forward. Yeah. You have Brunson Green, who was because of The Help, you know, they were all nominated as Best Picture. Emma has since won an Oscar and so has Viola. So, and I think pretty soon Allison Janney's going to be winning an Oscar, you know, because she's like Allison Janney. I mean, but if you look at all of those names now, I mean, it makes me so proud. Yeah.
For all of you, are you in touch with those people?
I am. I'm in touch with everyone. Jessica, Bryce, we're all still very much in each other's lives. I mean, we went through something very special.
Yeah. And with Hidden Figures too, like you've just managed to be a part of these incredibly things that will be long lasting, super long lasting. And I'm sitting here thinking about like, who will you be the Whoopi Goldberg for, right? Like who is going to be the girl in the future or young boy talking about when they were starting out and what Octavia Spencer said to them. And, you know, I feel like I'm watching you not just do incredible work, but also be so conscious of giving back in so many ways. And I know that you have been a part of making sure a lot of people got to see Hidden Figures who might not have gotten to see it without your support.
Well, let's find something for both of us.
Okay. Well, now I have you on a show that is listened to by thousands of people saying that. So I've got it. I've got it documented. Okay. I love you, darling. Thank you so much.
Love you too, honey.
If you want more information about my guests, go to the website littleknownfactspodcast.com. I also wanted to tell you that there is now a new addition to the website. It is a button that says contributions. This podcast is a true labor of love, and I really, really want to keep doing it for a long time. So if you like listening as much as I love to do it, please feel free to contribute. It would mean the world to me. Also, on Twitter, you can find me at Alana Levine. Instagram is Little Known Facts Podcast. And on Facebook, Little Known Facts Podcast. You can also feel free to rate and review the show on the iTunes show page. This podcast is recorded at Hanger Studios in New York City. This episode was brought to you by Pro Media. Located in Times Square, Pro Media offers both production and post-production services out of its beautiful studios in the heart of New York City. Pro Media, sound vision. Find out more at promedia.nyc.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.